You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You can spot them six strollers away, the new parent. They look ecstatic and a bit frazzled. They tote around the jumbo size of cleaning products to decontaminate the world for their precious bundle of joy. You would think that their home would be one of the safest places for two- and four-legged critters, but you may be surprised to learn that items associated with babies can be highly toxic to pets. To tutor us in the ABCs of safeguarding our furry kids is my guest, Dr. Justine Lee, Associate Director of Pet Poison Helpline. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Your dog digs a hole under your fence, and the next thing you know... Protect your pets with Dig Defense, the amazing new product that keeps your pets in the yard. Dig Defense is safe, fast, and easy. Each unit is made from 4-gauge galvanized American steel and can be used for repairing digouts, filling gaps, or to hold fences down so pets can't get under them. Dig Defense provides peace of mind that your pets are contained humanely and safely. Visit digdefense.com today. DIGDEFENCE.com.
Dog Shelter Blues, the new novel by Mark Conkling. This hard-hitting story lights up the world of animal rescue with engaging characters and their pets. Struggling with their own internal demons as they attempt to rescue innocent creatures that sometimes bring a mysterious transforming power to broken lives. Read the first chapter of Dog Shelter Blues free at dogshelterblues.com. Then come along a breathtaking journey that ends with an astonishing triumph of good over evil. Order your copy of Dog Shelter Blues today. Available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Justine, I always have to somewhat laugh. Clients come in with their new babies. Their little binky falls out of the baby's mouth. It rolls on the floor. They pick it up. They decontaminate everything before they think of giving it back. And then I can always tell when it's the second baby because they pick it up, maybe lick it off, stick it back in the kid's face and go, okay, here you go. Life is not so bad.
Yes.
So this is really, I think, a super interesting topic because oftentimes we'll have that first baby, our four-legged ones, and then we go, okay, we did that one fairly well. Let's go for the two. So how dangerous is a baby, except for the psyche, to the four-legged kid in the house?
Great question. You know, most pet owners know how to pet-proof a house, but when a baby comes along, or even in the prenatal stage, they don't think of the potential poisons or even risks to their pet. So, for example, in the before the baby even comes stage or the prenatal stage, something as simple as prenatal vitamins can be deadly to dogs. There's just such a huge amount of iron, and so when ingested, even by children in large amounts, it can result in severe iron poisoning. So when in doubt, I mean, these often have 2, 3, 4 times the amount of iron compared to a regular multivitamin, so it can easily result in poisoning in our dogs.
What I find is interesting is I take my plethora of vitamins and supplements, and if I can find one that's chewable, I'm a kid at heart. It's like, oh, yeah, absolutely, this is so much more fun. And you're the new mother and you get that tummy in front of you. You drop something. It's like, it's somewhere down there. But believe me, I'm not getting on my hands and knees to find it. So yes, prenatal vitamins are a problem with the iron. What would be some of the signs? Because you might not even know that you dropped it or that your pet picked it up. So what should they look for?
Sure. You know, that's an interesting question. A lot of the chewable or even sugar-free multivitamins that taste so much better, they don't usually have large amounts of iron because iron tastes bad. So even if you say prenatal one, you just have to read the instructions carefully and the ingredients because they may not have iron. Instead, they could have a more dangerous poison like xylitol, which I'll talk about in just a few minutes. If it is a true iron poisoning, the biggest side effect that we worry about is dose dependent. So if they got into just a small amount, a lot of times we'll just see some vomiting, some diarrhea, even some bloody vomit or bloody diarrhea. The concern is if it's a large amount, it can actually cause organ failure or organ injury, like liver problems, and even arrhythmias or really low blood pressure. So you definitely want to keep any kind of prenatal vitamin out of reach of your pets.
How soon after they ingest it may you see these signs?
Unfortunately, it could be hours. So sometimes it takes a few hours before they'll show any signs of vomiting. Some animals may not show signs of any kind of organ problem for 2 to 3 days later. And I always tell people, that's such a great question, whenever you think or suspect that your pet is poisoned, you always want to decontaminate and treat right away because it's always less expensive the sooner you treat it and it's less invasive for your dog or your cat. So you don't want to wait for the presence of any kind of clinical signs before you decide to seek veterinary attention. When in doubt, contact your vet, your emergency vet, or pet poison helpline for some immediate advice.
You're exactly right. People will call in going, well, I'm not really sure. You know, it looks fine right now. I'm just going to watch. And by the time they bring it in, you're playing that catch-up game. You're going up that curve. And sometimes you're not able to save the pet. And it's always just so tragic when that happens.
That's right. And one of my most frustrating poisons is actually Easter lilies in cats. And, you know, my own sister's cat died of it.
Oh,
and so
goodness.
It's something where, yeah, I'm a huge advocate of really teaching prevention so pet owners know all the really common poisons in the house that they really need to keep pet-proof or keep away from their pets.
Well, when you have this pregnant mother and she's trying to be so healthy, you know, she's taking her prenatal vitamins and then she's also trying to eat at a more healthy level. So, all right, I have that sweet tooth. Instead of eating candy, I'm going to eat grapes and raisins. And here's my sweet little pup looking at me going, well, I've always shared everything else. So let's go ahead and share some grapes and raisins. That's not a good idea, is it?
No, no. In fact, you know, it was only about 15 years ago that we as veterinarians realized or discovered that grapes and raisins or anything that contains them, like trail mix or even, you know, oatmeal cookies with raisins, can cause kidney failure when ingested by dogs. And this is especially dangerous in people who have young toddlers because when they have them in a high chair, guess what they're feeding them? Cheerios, grapes, and raisins, and they're throwing them off the high chair only for your dog to be, you know, woofing it up on the floor right around the high chair. So you really want to be careful when you're feeding things like that. Safe for humans, but again, can be potentially poisonous to dogs and cats. So you definitely want to make sure to keep grapes and raisins out of reach also.
What are some of the other toxins that people need to be aware of in that pre-baby stage?
The other thing that you mentioned before is actually the sugar-free chewable vitamins. So things that contain xylitol. And xylitol is a natural sweetener, but it doesn't have any calories or any true sugar in it. And so it's so commonly found in products nowadays. So from things like chewable multivitamins to gums, mints, nasal sprays, toothpaste, even mouthwashes. And so you really have to make sure if a pet has gotten into anything that you check the ingredients. I've had some calls at Pet Poison Helpline where people take melatonin, and even the melatonin pill is coated with xylitol. So again, in so many products nowadays, and it can be life-threatening when a dog gets into it. It basically causes severe hypoglycemia, a drop in blood sugar, and in really high doses, it can actually cause liver failure.
So sad, and you're just trying to be healthy and your pet gets, and I've had clients whose dogs have gotten into their purses. They thought they'd put it away, it was nice and safe, and they just put their purse down on the floor, on the couch, whatever, and then the pet with those little ant noses of theirs, you know, finds it, gets into it, and then it's like, how many did it eat? I have no idea.
Yes.
Safest thing is always get them in, get them to chuck it back up again.
That's right. And when in doubt, I always tell people, just hang up your purse. There are so many poisons in your purse. Sugar-free gum, prescription medication. We women always have a little bottle of ibuprofen or Advil in there. You know, there could be things like a cell phone battery, even coins. All those things are super poisonous to pets. So definitely want to keep those things out of reach.
It keeps your purse cleaner too. So not a bad
idea. Absolutely.
What I find interesting also, I had a young pup that came in. This little honey was a little teeny Pomeranian, probably about 3 months of age, and had the most swollen vulva that I had ever seen. And I thought, wow, is this one of the most precocious babies that I've ever seen who's gone into heat at a very early age, went ahead, said, okay, you know, couldn't find anything else, let's go ahead and spay it, continued to have the swollen vulva and the ovaries looked fine. Then, long story short, came to find out that the owner was using some hormone cream on her arm. The pet was getting exposed to that. Sounds like you've heard of that one too.
Yeah, in fact, you know, it's something that's even hit mainstream news like New York Times or Wall Street Journal. They published dogs and cats going into quote unquote a fake heat where they look like they're pregnant or they'll look like they're going into heat. And it's all from these estrogen creams that people or women are smearing on their skin and their dogs or cats are chronically licking it off. And it basically is used for menopause. And so as we see an aging population of pet owners, this is something we want to be really careful of because some of them are going through accidental extra surgeries to look for, you know, extra ovary when really just getting an appropriate history and finding out if they got into, you know, a human medication can be the underlying cause.
And she felt, this owner felt so badly that she caused, you know, a earlier surgery and then all this angst for herself and myself trying to figure out what was going on. So she just learned she had to wear long sleeves. I think she actually decided to go to an oral form of supplementation versus something she applied to the skin. And then the other extreme are birth control pills. Pets can get into those too.
Yeah, that's true. You know, most of the time, because our dogs and cats are most often spayed or neutered, birth control pills actually have a really wide margin of safety. They're relatively safe, but they can be really dangerous for a bird. In really high amounts, the estrogen can actually cause bone marrow suppression, and that has to be a really large amount. But when in doubt, topical medications like these estrogen creams are very, very dangerous. So when in doubt, again, contact your veterinarian or an animal poison control like Pet Poison Helpline for advice. Because you always want to actually just be precautious before you even put it on. Talking to your medical doctor, your pharmacist, they may not know if it's poisonous to your pet. So when in doubt, do your research, contact a veterinarian to make sure that it's safe for your pet also.
And don't call 911. Don't call a human poison control number. They are awesome at what they do, but their concern is people, not pets. And that's why you're there for us. Thank you very much with Pet Poison Helpline.
And that's a great point, you know, because sometimes they just don't know if it's poisonous. Easter lilies, tiger lilies, super poisonous to cats. And humans can eat them in regular salads or, you know, they're in a lot of Asian cooking. So a lot of species differences that people may not be aware of.
Good to know. All right. So we've gone through our 9 months of preparation. We've tried to baby-proof that house. And now the baby comes home, and now we have a whole new set of problems. One of the things I'll oftentimes tell clients is they're concerned, you know, the cat, the wives' tale of the cat going in there, the kitten getting into the bassinet and sucking the baby's breath. I think most people are aware that doesn't happen. Cat just knows a good place when it finds it, and those squishy little blankets and the baby so warm and it smells good, and they just go, oh, I think I'm just going to snuggle up. And if you've ever had one of your cats who maybe is a little on the full figure side, sit on your chest, you know it's a little hard to breathe sometimes. So here's this poor baby with this big fluffy cat or dog can sometimes get in there, can causing problems. I'll tell people, just even put a screen door on your inside of the house on your nursery area so you can still see the baby. The pup or the kitten can now realize what's in there but doesn't have access to it. What are some things that they should do?
You know, I often recommend keeping baby products away because you're exactly right. One of the reasons why pets are drawn to infants is because, one, the cooing sound, and two, the weird milk smells that come out of the baby. And
both
so,
ends.
Yeah, something like a pacifier has the odor of milk. It's got an unusual smell, and dogs will eat these. And I've actually seen dogs that have required surgery from eating large amounts, over a dozen pacifiers. So things like pacifiers, even used or unused diapers, when dogs chew into them, they oftentimes have these absorbent crystals that when they combine with urine or any kind of liquid, like stomach liquid or saliva, can rapidly expand and actually result in foreign body obstructions. They get stuck in the dog's stomach, and that can actually require surgery. So when in doubt, you always still want to pet proof. You know, keep the pacifiers in an elevated area, keep the diapers in a box that's raised just so your pet can't get into it, or use childproof garbage cans or, you know, childproof doors for sure, just to make sure you're protecting your four-legged pet also.
And it's so easy to lose these binkies. You know, it was in the mouth. Where did it go? And you look under the couch, you look under the bed, and you don't see it going, whatever, just grab another one and get going.
Right.
You're exactly right, Dr. Justine Lee of Pet Poison Helpline. I had a dog, and I'll always remember this was so tragic, several years ago, who came in just kind of with that not doing right, upset stomach, appetite wasn't really good, took a radiograph, couldn't see anything, and continued on. You know, owner was a little bit tight of money because new baby, and said, well, let's just continue to watch. Pet didn't get any better. Finally gave a swallow of barium, this contrast material, and watched it go through the intestinal tract. And then it hit one area and just wasn't going any further. Realized that we had a foreign body, had to go in, do surgery. The intestines in that area was horribly damaged and turned out to be a pacifier. So, no, it was actually the nipple off of a bottle. So the animal had chewed off because had access to the baby bottle, had chewed it up. They'd found that bottle, thought everything was fine, but it actually swallowed the nipple, and that pet finally succumbed. So it can be dangerous. Pups just know it smells good, tastes good. Let's give it a try. And they'll oftentimes eat first, think later. And those diapers, they also don't show up on radiographs. And yes, it just smells good to them. My baby diapers
are right.
Really kind of nasty. So we have our baby at home. We're having to be careful with our pacifiers. But even things like baby powders can cause problems. The talc as well as the cornstarch. And oftentimes new parents are going to cornstarch type of baby powders because they feel it's safer for the baby, but not necessarily so for the pet. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, and that's one thing you do want to be cautious of. So something as simple as talc. And honestly, they don't usually sell it as talc as commonly as baby powder nowadays. The reason why is cornstarch, baby powder is benign, but talc itself, it'll say talcum powder, it can be dangerous because it's a potential risk where it's easy to inhale that powder into the lungs. We've all eaten something with powdered sugar. You accidentally breathe and you inhale it into your lungs and can choke from it. Well, with talc, it can actually be life-threatening. And this happens when people or mothers are changing the diapers. They're putting a lot of talc powder, and it can result in severe coughing, difficulty breathing, even vomiting in both the baby and also the dog or the cat if they're in that environment. So when in doubt, baby powder's okay. Talc is not. One really common poison we get called about all the time is zinc oxide ointment. And these are usually baby diaper rash creams. My favorite type of diaper rash cream is something called Boudreaux's Baby Butt Paste.
I love that stuff.
Yes.
If nothing else, the name I love.
Exactly. And these basically are like vitamin A and D ointments or Desitin. And they do contain some zinc, which is a metal. And they're basically used as skin protectants. And for some reason, you know, they have an unusual odor, so dogs will chew on them. And that zinc within the zinc oxide can actually cause really profuse vomiting. It's something where I don't expect any zinc poisoning to occur. You have to ingest a large amount before it'll result in a heavy metal poisoning. But when in doubt, keep these creams out of reach also. Very, very common. We get called about this at least, you know, a dozen times a day. So very common poison that moms and dads need to keep out of reach of their dogs.
Now, you're mentioning this Dr. Boudreaux's butt paste having A and D in it. So a little bit of vitamin D is not a problem, but vitamin D oftentimes is given to babies, especially those that are breastfeeding. And that can be a problem too. So those baby vitamins, probably the dog's not going to have as easy an access, but they could find the bottle and start chewing on it. What happens with vitamin D?
Great point. Great question. This is something I really worry about. This is my most hated poison, vitamin D. And I actually take it as an oral supplement. It's mixed in with fatty acids or fish oils. And a lot of people are on it, or they'll put their babies on it if they're breastfed. And it usually comes in drops or dissolvable tablets. For humans, it comes in pills. And when a pet gets into them, and it's usually dogs that are getting into it, the pills or the capsules, you have to ingest a pretty large amount before it's a poisoning. But the concentrated liquid drops are very, very, very dangerous. And they're a dietary supplement, but they're basically similar to vitamin D. And so what happens is if a dog gets into a large amount or even a toxic small amount of the concentrated form, it causes a really high spike in your body's calcium level and then makes you go into kidney failure. And it's really expensive to treat. Most patients that are treated for this end up having a several thousand dollar bill because they're on aggressive IV fluids and really expensive medication for days trying to get their calcium level down. So this is one you definitely want to keep out of reach of your pets. It's also similar to a vitamin D rat poison. Causes the same type of poisoning too. So anything with vitamin D, as in dog, you definitely want to keep out of reach of your pets.
We're talking right now with Dr. Justine Lee. She is the Associate Director of Pet Poison Helpline. We're going to be right back after this short break talking about ways that you can keep your baby, whether it's two-legged or four-legged, safe. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a four-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Are you crazy about cats? If so, check out The World is Your Litter Box, Deluxe Edition. This clever how-to manual for cats, written by a cat named Quasi, contains more laughs than should be allowable in one book, and is poignantly underscored by the combative yet loving relationship between Quasi and his human. The World is Your Litter Box, Deluxe Edition, is guaranteed to have you laughing your tail off. So, treat yourself to a copy today. Available from Amazon.
Ever wonder what it would be like to live in a perfect world for cats? I'm Pamela Merritt from The Way of Cats, longtime cat rescuer, full-time cat appreciator. Join me and my cats James Bond, RJ, Olwen, and Tristan in a perfect world.
Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Lee, I mean, all these different things, it's like, oh my goodness, it's so scary trying to keep everybody healthy. And then all of a sudden, your baby does get sick, gets its sniffles, it gets its cold, and now we have new medications in the house, things like acetaminophen or ibuprofen. How are these toxic to our pets?
Great question. You know, if you have a toddler that has a sore tooth or has an ear infection, we always worry that people always have the liquid flavored ibuprofen or Tylenol at home. Thankfully, these aren't as concentrated as the adult form, but the cherry flavored or the flavored, so dogs like to get into it. And so when it comes to these two medications, when pets get into it, especially cats, it's really poisonous. Cats have an altered liver metabolism. They can't break down certain drugs. And so one adult Tylenol will kill a cat. What we worry about is when you're using oral liquid Tylenol or even oral liquid ibuprofen, it doesn't take a lot to result in poisoning. With Tylenol in cats, it basically makes them have difficulty breathing, and then they can actually go into liver failure.
How much would you need for that little cat? Say like a 10-pound cat. How much would they have to get exposed to?
Sure. So it depends on what kind of concentration that you're using. But most of the time when we're looking at the infant formula of Tylenol, those are usually either infant or children suspension. And so for a 10-pound cat, it would only take half of a mil or less than, you know, half a teaspoon to result in poisoning in a cat. So very little amount to result in poisoning. Dogs are more resistant to the poisoning of it, but when you break it down, really a quarter of an adult Tylenol is very, very toxic to a cat. When it comes to drugs like Advil, which is ibuprofen, cats are at least twice as sensitive as dogs to these what we call NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. And cats can develop both stomach ulcers and kidney failure from it. Dogs will also develop it, but it's usually at a slightly higher dose. When in doubt, never give any of these medications without talking to your veterinarian or an animal poison control first, just because of the risk that it can be poisonous. My most frustrating medication that I see pet owners giving is naproxen sodium, which is Aleve. Most pet owners aren't aware that that's really poisonous, and it's something where I most commonly see pet owners giving it for something as simple as lameness. Their dog is limping, they gave an Aleve, and now 3 days later they're coming in because their dog's in kidney failure. So again, never give any medication without consulting your veterinarian or pet poison helpline first.
Oftentimes you're just trying to save some money. I take it myself. It must be very safe. I'll just give a little bit to my pet. And you're right, Dr. Lee. So many times they come in and they've had that best of intentions and have the worst of possible outcomes.
That's right. So again, you know, it's something where we eat grapes and raisins and xylitol gum, chocolate all the time. It's not poisonous to us, but again, very poisonous to our four-legged friends. So really want to keep all that stuff out of reach.
You'd mentioned a little earlier about you have that new baby and maybe it has an earache, or it's that growing baby and it's now teething. And oh my goodness, you know, we need our own medications for our headaches because these kids are unhappy and crying. For babies, we'll go ahead and try to put something on their gums to make them more comfortable, like a little benzocaine. Now,
correct,
that can be toxic to pets also.
That's right. And again, cats are much more sensitive than dogs. So benzocaine is basically a local numbing anesthetic. So, you know, if you put it onto your child's gum, it basically relieves a lot of the pain from teething. But unfortunately, some of these can be really high concentrations, up to 20% when you're using it. And unfortunately, when you use it, it can basically prevent your pet's oxygen or red blood cells from being able to carry oxygen. And so it can be life-threatening. Thankfully, this isn't one that we get called on a lot, but it is something that can make your cat have difficulty breathing or even need a blood transfusion. So when, you know, you always want to be safe, keep any kind of benzocaine, any kind of pain medication out of reach of your dog and your cat. This one is especially dangerous to cats.
What are some other things that you can think of that maybe as a veterinarian or as a new parent, you're going, oh, it's not going to be a problem, but people are calling you and you are finding that, yes, these things associated with babies can be problematic.
You know, the biggest one I would probably emphasize is the prenatal vitamins with iron and then the vitamin D drops. Those are the most life-threatening that can result in severe poisoning. The other ones we definitely worry about, but they're not as life-threatening depending on the dose that they get into. So again, you know, foreign bodies like diapers, the pacifiers you always want to worry about. And again, just keep all those medications, both human and over-the-counter, something as simple as diaper rash cream, out of reach. I will say that one bigger concern that we don't typically address at Pet Poison Helpline is just the introduction of baby and pet. You know, your cat isn't used to all those smells, your dog's not used to it, and being able to make sure that you talk to your veterinarian or a veterinary behaviorist about the appropriate introduction of both together. I never advocate leaving a baby with a pet alone, especially a dog. And again, simple things that you can do before you even bring the baby home into the house, bringing home some blankets that smell like the baby, you know, having a CD or some sounds of a baby crying in the house just so your pet can get used to it. So a lot of pre-planning before you even bring that baby home.
Great idea. If you have friends with babies, have them come over so your pet can get used to the sound of that baby. If you get the stroller and you love taking your dog for a walk, and that's been one of the things where you've bonded over time, and now you have the stroller, it's going, nope, I don't want that dog out there because it's going to pull me over and it's not going to be, you know, walking on that leash the way that it's supposed to. Start practicing, you know, get that baby carriage, put a baby doll in there so it gets used to the routine of what you're going to be doing. You have 9 months to get your pet used to the fact that they're not going to be that only child anymore. There's
something else
going to be in the house.
And most importantly, still show attention to them.
Oh, very much so. And sometimes we feel so guilty. You're exactly right, Dr. Lee. We feel so guilty that, oh, we're not giving it the attention. We're not walking it. We're not playing, brushing it, etc. So here's a dog treat. Here's a kitty treat instead. And so often, new mother comes in with a baby, brings in that puppy or kitten, and I'm looking at it going, oh, Yes. Gained 5 pounds since last time I've seen it. And there are things that you can do if you have that opportunity to have maybe somebody else watch the baby. Get yourself out walking. You need a little exercise. Your pup cat's going to need some little one-on-one time. You're right. Give that other baby some attention also.
Absolutely. And the one other thing I always tell people, which isn't necessarily related to poisoning, is they have definitely shown studies where children less than 2 years of age who grow up with dogs and cats are much less likely to develop allergies or asthma when they get older. So, you know, no excuse of getting rid of the pets just because of asthma or anything like that. It does actually stimulate your child's immune system and is actually very, very helpful to help prevent further asthma or allergies down the line.
Very good idea. Kind of along the same line, I can always tell when one of my clients is pregnant, even before she starts to show, she owns a cat, she'll come in and she, oh, I need to have a toxoplasmosis test done.
Yes.
I said, oh, are you pregnant? And she looks down at her belly going, how can you tell? I said, because you're asking for this test. So oftentimes, and you're right about giving pets away, cats away in particular with this particular disease, where an OBGYN with the best of intentions goes, oh, you have a pet, you have a cat, you need to give it away because the cat can carry disease that can spread to you. It can go to your unborn child. It can be born with a myriad of medical malformations, defects, diseases, where the best thing to do is it's an indoor cat, wash your hands or have somebody else clean out the cat box. And if you're working outside in the garden, wear gloves, wash your hands, and hygiene is probably the most important thing. Could you talk a little bit about toxoplasmosis?
Sure, absolutely. You know, Dr. Cruz, the best thing to do is to assign your husband the responsibility or your partner the responsibility of cleaning the kitty litter box for the next 9 months. That's just the easiest thing to do.
But they don't always do it.
That's true. And, you know, this is the one time where you want to be meticulous when it comes to toxoplasmosis and scooping your cat's litter box. What they've actually found is toxoplasmosis is an organism that cats can normally carry in their body and they defecate out in the feces, and outdoor cats are more at risk for spreading this, but indoor cats can still be exposed. And it's something where they're not usually clinically affected. In other words, they don't get sick from the toxoplasmosis, but it can make humans sick. In fact, it can cause abortion or miscarriage, can cause some medical problems. And basically, this organism has to hatch in the feces, and it becomes a risk to a human after it hatches. The general recommendation is testing yourself and potentially your cat to make sure you're either negative or positive. And the interesting thing is if you scoop your litter box once a day or even twice a day and then dump the whole kitty litter, clumps, and feces out of the house, you are not at risk for toxoplasmosis because the toxoplasmosis doesn't have time to hatch into its dangerous form.
It has to be around for 24 hours, correct? So
that's
you're saying, right, do it at least once a day.
Exactly. So just clean once or twice a day or, you know, shirk the responsibility and let someone else clean. That's what I recommend.
That's a great idea. And also be on the safe side. Make sure that you get your pet in for a good wellness exam. Keep it up to date on all of its monthly flea and internal parasite control medications. You never want to have that chance of saying, oh, you have the toddler in particular who went in and was playing in its you know, the cat's cat box and came out with a Tootsie Roll. Not exactly. So safeguard your pet, safeguard your children, make sure they're up to date on all their vaccines, their parasite control, internal, external, and you're going to have a much healthier environment.
Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Justine Lee, thank you so much for being with us. I know you've really educated me on some of these risks that I didn't actually realize I need to make sure that my new mothers and fathers are aware of to protect everyone in the family. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on the show, Dr. Cruz.
My pleasure. You're listening to Dr. Justine Lee and Dr. Bernadine Cruz on The Pet Doctor. Please listen again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner you can be. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.